With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Not Another Mummy Podcast. I'm Alison Perry and you're listening to episode 19. Self-care as a mum is so important. It's a bit of a cliche, but we really do spend a lot of time running around after everyone, organising family life, making sure that everyone is where they should be at any given moment. So it's something that I really wanted to cover on the podcast, and I delve into it with my guest on this episode, author and editor-in-chief of Hello magazine, Rosie Nixon. Rosie told me that she doesn't think she's very good at self-care, but as you'll hear, we talked about how it's not just about eating well and going to the gym. It can also be about just taking 5 minutes with a cuppa and a magazine, or going on your own to your favourite coffee shop between breastfeeds, or listening to a podcast. Self-care is basically just giving something back to yourself. I loved chatting to Rosie. As well as running Hello magazine and brushing shoulders with A-list stars, she's written 2 best-selling novels, so she's a very, very busy lady, and I was very grateful to her for giving her time. So I hope by listening, you enjoy the next 30 minutes of your own self-care. So welcome, Rosie, to the podcast.
Thanks very much. Thanks
it's
for
very,
having me.
Very, very nice. We're here in the Hello offices, aren't we?
We are. A it's lovely calm meeting today.
Room. It does feel very calm
Press
for a
day
magazine
tomorrow.
Office.
It'll be completely different tomorrow.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for fitting me in. I do appreciate it. So as well as being the editor of Hello, you're an established author and you're a mum of 2 boys, aren't you?
Yeah.
What is motherhood to you? So obviously, you know, we can imagine what your career, that side of your life is like.
Yeah.
What is motherhood to
you?
Well,
motherhood's all about the real me. You know, motherhood's the most, you know, incredible journey that I feel so lucky to have been on. Things are hectic being a working mum. I was like on the train this morning, you know, trying to read the newspaper sort of half while I sort of had the Amazon app open and was ordering water wipes and size 6 Pampers at the same time.
It's crazy how many things you can do, because as you're doing one thing, your mind goes, oh my goodness, you need to do that, and it's really important. So you go off and you do that.
I was meant to order the water wipes on Monday and I've forgotten and we've only got about 5 left in the packet.
And you don't want to run out because that's just a nightmare.
You don't, and everything's going to fall apart. So yeah. I mean, it's a juggling act, but my god, you know, it's so amazing to have, you know, my 2 little boys in my life and to get home, you know, and rush home as quickly as I can at the end of the day to be there around bath time, you know, and to put them to bed, and it's just so precious.
So,
you know,
as a boss, do you kind of try to instill that ethos of down tools, let's get home? Because even if people haven't got kids, they've got lives outside.
You need that time to switch off, otherwise you'd go mad. Yeah, I really do. I think, you know, obviously you have a much greater understanding of that once you become a mum yourself, you know, and you realise how much more there is to life that, you know, than just work. And to be able to make your work integrate with your home life. Like, I'm a real one. I do actually find it quite hard to completely switch off when I'm at home. But I rather have the flexibility in my week, where I might think, okay, well, I'm not really crazy busy this afternoon, so I might try and nip back so I can pick Heath up from nursery, and then I'm going to finish my emails at home and kind of juggle it. And I really don't mind when they've gone to bed then picking up my emails again, because it's more important that I'm there for those 2 hours with them.
When they're awake.
So it's all a bit of a kind of flexi juggling act, you know, and I do try and help our staff here, you know, attain that kind of balance as well.
It's good that there's definitely more conversation around that happening. And obviously with even the law changing, you know, in recent years, and, you know, people kind of almost encouraging even like 20 somethings to be like, you can work flexibly, because not everyone kind of works in that 9-to-5 slot.
No, I mean, it's difficult because there are certain roles within a company that often demand more of a kind of rigid structure. Yeah. But then there are others that don't. So it really is a case-by-case kind of conversation.
Yeah.
But I think the important thing is that you're open to having that conversation in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really certainly am that kind of manager.
That's good. So what kind of mum are you?
Mm.
How do you describe yourself?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm a bit of a smothering mum. I'm constantly sniffing the back of their necks and kissing them. And he's just like, get off me.
They're so delicious though, aren't they? I do that too.
We just can't get enough of them. Yeah. I think my two little boys, I can't bear. I'm already kind of can't bear the day when they don't want to walk down the street holding my hand. Or, I mean, one of them weighs a ton now. You know, he's nearly 4 and he's so heavy but still wants to be carried at times. And I love that closeness. I'm definitely a big cuddler. So,
yeah. I do wonder whether that happens more quickly with boys than girls, the whole kind of not wanting to hold your hand. I don't know.
I'm not sure, actually, because I've got some other friends, who say that their boy, you know, who've got a boy and a girl, who say that their boy is the one that tends to be more sensitive and kind of cuddly. They're both cuddly boys, which is great.
Nice.
Yeah, and I love my, you know, our bedtimes at the moment. I mean, the routines constantly change, don't they? So we're in a nice little cosy one at the moment where we try to do stories together in the bottom bunk and all sort of pile in. My husband, too, if he's better. Back in time and do stories together, but I'm sure that's going to change, you know, soon.
Yeah. Get those cuddles while you can.
I know, exactly. I will. I'll force them to.
Yes.
I'm going to be that mum on their 18th birthday that's there.
Yeah. Give us a kiss.
Yeah, exactly.
So you must be really, really good at time management. You've got all this going on. You know, you've written 2 books. I mean, you wrote those 2 books on your maternity leave, am I right?
Well, the first one I finished, I mean, the first one, God, you know, I started writing it before I had children, so there was definitely more time.
Yes.
And then I actually finished it when I was on my maternity leave in sort of snatched hours when my parents could help out looking after the baby.
Mm.
And I think, I mean, if I'm completely honest, they have kept me sane, and I really like having this other strand in my life that's very creative. I mean, I'm a writer at heart, and that's why I became a journalist, and that's what I love doing. And I guess, you know, as my career's gone on, I've become more removed from that. And I love what I do. I'm really lucky to have a job that I do, you know, really adore.
It's a shame how that happens, though, isn't it? You start off as a writer, and then you kind of get promoted, and all of a sudden you're not writing, and you're not doing the thing.
Or even editing other copy, really, anymore. It's more of a managerial role. So that is kind of my creative outlet, and I love doing it. And if I'm completely honest, you know, I think when you have young children, you know, there is a certain amount of monotony with it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Whilst, I mean, it is amazing and it's a blessing and we're so lucky and I never take that for granted.
Mm.
The kind of day in, day out of being on maternity leave, only there at home with the kids, counting down the hours till it's time to, you know, the husband's going to come home, or you can have a glass of wine or you've got a night out.
And when you've got a baby who's not, because even toddlers, they keep you on your toes and you're running around after them, but babies, they just do nothing.
I know, and it is really tiring. And so I did actually love the fact that I had an excuse to leave the house for a couple of hours at a time. You know, I was breastfeeding, so it was always in between feeds, to go and do something else.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fiction that I write is women's commercial fiction. It's funny. I have a natural kind of comedic tone. And I really amused myself. Sat in a coffee shop. I had my favourite table in my local coffee shop in South London. And I would go there and I would just be in my element. And then I would come back and be so excited to be back with the baby. And actually having that balance does help keep
me
sane.
That's brilliant.
And that really, you know, hats off to stay-at-home mums, because, you know, it is tough, you know. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not an easy option.
And also I think we're all built differently. So I think you do get women like you and I who thrive from, you know, off having the working life and the home life, and then you get some women who they are completely fulfilled by being at home, and that is what they've always dreamed
of. So there's no way I would sort of judge others. I think you do what makes you happy. And certainly for me, yeah, having that writing kind of element in my life, I feel like I need it now. It's kind of part of me. But that said, you know, there are times when it does feel too much and that the balance is off and the juggle's tough and I feel guilty because, you know, I maybe don't pick up enough from preschool, you know, as I would like to. So there are sacrifices that are made as well.
I think it's just a matter of almost keeping it in check. And when you feel yourself going off balance,
reassessing,
kind of going, right, stop, this isn't working for me. I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling ratty, I'm not happy. You know, why am I doing this? And then kind of looking at your diary almost and moving things around.
That's true.
And cancelling things.
Cancelling, exactly. And that's often quite a relief, isn't it? Sometimes I look at my diary and think, oh my God, I feel stressed before the week's even begun. I'm meant to be out 3 or 4 evenings this week. And then you think, actually, I'm just going to cancel that. It's too much. On the list of priorities, my children's bedtime, you know, is right there at the top, actually. So they come before attending an event with, you know, a lot of people that are not close friends.
And if they are close friends, then they'll understand.
Literally.
If you have to say, oh, I'm really not coping right now, I need some time off, then they'll get it.
I think it was an interview with Claudia Winkleman that I read a while ago that said about the three areas of your life, that you have your home life, your work life, and then your friends. And it's really hard to have all three all the time.
I think you can have two.
That's it, you can have two. And once you accept, and sometimes, sadly, it is the social life that kind of has to go for a bit. But then so many of your friends are in the same boat. And there's always WhatsApp for late night conversations. Have a quick catch up.
Oh my goodness.
And social media to see what they've been doing.
But WhatsApp's kind of scary in that you look at it, you've got 120 messages and you're like, how am I going to catch up? But it's like, right, I'm not going to try and catch up. I'm just going to jump straight back in.
And I think allowing yourself to, not feel guilty, to just think, you know what, does it matter in the scheme of things?
Yeah.
You know, as long as everybody's healthy, everybody's happy, you know, then... we're going to be all right.
I think something I always try and do is try and think of when I'm old and grey and I'm looking back on my life, what are the things that I will think those are the things that mattered? And all the kind of tiny little nitty gritty things that you get really worked up about, they're not going to matter.
And it generally is those family occasions that you look back on. At the end of the year when you look back and think, what were your highlights of the year? They tend to be that great family holiday that you had, or somebody's birthday that you celebrated,
or a big meal together.
Not that time that you stayed late in the office and completed something.
So I wanted to chat to you about self-care, and when we were kind of discussing this, you were saying that you're not, you don't really feel you're very good at it.
No, but then it was interesting, but then I thought about it more last night. And I guess initially I kind of thought of my writing and the fact that having that outlet, like, I feel really lucky actually that, you know, I have something like that that sometimes gives me an excuse to go to a hotel of my own, which is like
That's
the ultimate
bliss.
Just to, but I write when I'm there, you know. And I really love doing that. But then I thought about, you know, I have, where I live in South London, I have a female-only gym that's literally 1 minute from my house, which is amazing. And I try to go there sort of 2 or 3 times a week. And they do lots of sort of half-hour classes as well, which I really like. Have a good stretch for half an hour in the morning there. So that's something that I definitely try to build into my week. And I try to ring-fence that time. Generally, I do it early in the morning. They have a 7:15 class. So if my husband's around to, you know, deal with the chaos of breakfast for half an hour, I can zip out and go to that. And it's only half an hour, so it's brilliant.
That's
so I'm back before 8.
So do you feel like it really clears your head? And
it does.
Sets me up for the day.
And always on the days I've managed to get to the gym, I just feel a lot more in control of the day and everything's, you know, in hand. And keeps you healthy. I mean, the amount of times you've woken up with a slight sore throat, and it is easy not, you know, to find yourself at the bottom of the pecking order when you're looking after a family. But then going to the gym really does help kind of wash that away, I think. Keeps your immune system strong.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And it's funny because I always think of self-care as being, you know, it's not just exercise, food, you know, well-being. I kind of think that I spotted on your Instagram that you went out for a girly lunch yesterday with two women that I know and really love, Katie and Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And all three of you posted on Instagram about how invigorated and energised you felt after that lunch.
It's true. And we had such a nice time.
That's a form
of
self-care.
It's like a little shot of adrenaline, yes. It kind of was. Yeah,
there's nothing
you're
right. better than going out and feeling,
totally.
Like, talking.
Good chat with kind of like-minded women really is love. I've already feel pepped up from this conversation.
Great.
And it's a really lovely, life-affirming kind of thing to do, isn't it? When you realise that you're all the same and that we all had a little moan about how hectic everything is and, you know, wanting to go out more and spend more time with our girlfriends. But actually, it was like an hour and a half, but it was so great.
Like a therapy
session. We didn't
come
up for air.
Yeah. And quite often, if I have those sort of lunches or coffees, I leave feeling kind of energised. But I also sometimes will have just picked up a nugget or two of, like, just tips and things that really stick in my head.
Yeah.
And it really helps in like day-to-day life. Like, so-and-so said that, right? I'm going to try that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the sharing of information and just solidarity and that feeling like, actually, everybody's dealing with the same kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've also got really into pyjamas recently, which...
Oh, I'm still with you.
I never was a pyjama girl. And then for some reason, I think it must be something to do with being in your 40s now. I've just got really into them, and one of my favourite things to do now is when I'm not going out in the evening and I'm home from work, I just change into them, because then I'm all slouchy and it's easy to clamber into the bottom bunk and do the stories with the boys. And it just is a real switch off for me.
Yeah.
Even if I then sit on the sofa and reply to some emails or catch up on the day, I'm doing it in the comfy surrounds of my silky pyjamas.
It changes your mindset, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm still with you. I was chatting to someone yesterday about this, actually, because we were both talking about how we wear this these pyjamas from a company called The Bright Company, and they're almost like long johns.
Oh, yeah, I love their
they're
stuff,
kind of like,
actually. The kids have got some pyjamas from there.
So I've got some for my daughter, and I've got some for myself, and they're quite kind of almost like tight leggings.
Yes.
And so it kind of feels a bit like you're encased in long johns, which is so not sexy.
No, I think maybe it's a kind of winter thing as well. Yeah. But it's our slippers as well are always top of my Christmas list.
Fluffy
every year.
Slippers.
Yeah. And Bowden do great slippers, actually. I'm
they
a fan
do.
Of those. But I'm quite a homebody. You know, I do love my evenings in. You know, and I try to sort of... I could be out every night of the week, really, with events to do with work, but I try to go out a couple of times a week. You know, any more, and it feels like the balance is off.
How do you make that decision, though? Because I struggle with that. I get invited to a lot of fun, interesting-sounding things that could also help me work-wise, and I'm currently thinking, right, I've said yes to way too many things in the next few weeks.
I have fear of missing out big time as well.
Yeah.
I think I'm quite good at parachuting into things and out quickly.
Oh, okay.
And not staying too late, because I just can't deal with it. Yeah, I need my sleep, and I know I'm going to be up early and there's a risk that someone's going to wake in the night, you know. So I really need my sleep, otherwise that I'm not happy.
So do you set their expectations? Do you say, I'm going to pop in?
Yeah, often
so that
I
you're
do
not that person who's oh, there she goes again, leaving early.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I think people understand, especially when you've got young children, and it's all right to be unapologetic about that, you know, and open. And, but, you know, I try to support. I'm a loyal friend and we'll go to, you know, support friends in their endeavours. But, often it's, a pop in and pop out.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So, you know, apart from getting into your pyjamas, what are the things that, if you've got 2 hours to yourself, what are the things you're like, right, I've got some time for myself, this is what I'm doing?
go for a manicure. Okay. I love that. Manicures and pedicures. Yeah. It's actually my grandmother she's going to turn 99 in a couple of weeks' time. She instilled in me at a young age that I must always have my nails polished. I mean, it's probably a very old-fashioned kind of thing. But she actually taught me how to kind of file my nails, do my cuticles, all of that, when she would babysit for me when I was a girl. And I used to love doing that with her. And it kind of just stuck in my head. I just feel like everything's all right and I'm in control if my nails are done.
I'm still with you. I mean, I've got mine done.
I don't
done
feel
too.
Properly finished if I've got, like, no nail varnish on. I'm sure it's probably not very good for your nails to have them constantly covered, but or maybe it is. Maybe it protects them.
I don't know. But I'm exactly the same. I always think if your nails are done, it doesn't. You can almost get away with being a little bit scruffy elsewhere.
It's true.
You look, you know,
you look a bit
professional
more put together. Yeah. So I think if I have a couple of hours, I mean, I'll try to squeeze in one of my half-hour gym sessions or an hour's one if I've got time, and then it would be my idea of heaven to quickly pop to the local nail bar and just sit there and kind of stare into space and do nothing. Or read another magazine.
It's funny you should say that, though, because I really feel like Hello is kind of designed for those kind of 5 minutes of just curling your feet up on the sofa and just, you know, losing yourself in this world. Because everything's kind of glossy and positive, and it's all kind of feel-good news that you guys are delivering. So it kind of feels like the magazine that you're producing is designed this me time.
And I think to pick up a magazine now is a luxury experience, because we're all so glued to our, mobile devices and laptops and everything else, and we're picking up news constantly through our social media streams, that to actually sit down, switch off that screen, open your magazine is a really sort of precious moment.
Definitely.
And you want that to be about escapism. So at Hello, I'm really proud and protective of our philosophy of positive reporting. And that's kind of at the heart of everything we do. We're a celebratory title. We like to, you know, make people feel good when they read it, and to take you away from the stresses and strains of getting that order in for the next box of water wipes from Amazon, or, you know, what everyone's going to have for dinner, or what's going on at work, you know, and in politics and all the bad stuff going on in the world.
And also to see something that's kind of been crafted, like the gorgeous shoots, you know, when you're so used to kind of just, like, you know, scrolling through a listicle on BuzzFeed, it feels like it's a real,
there's
really
a bit
nice
space to breathe as well. You had to look at a photo shoot that runs over sort of 8 pages where the pictures are big and glossy. It's not about cramming in as much information as possible. That's a very different experience than one that we experience on our on our handsets.
So it feels like
from online
with Hello and also your books, you're giving people the opportunity to indulge in some self-care moments.
Yeah, I'd never really thought of it like that, but that's true, I guess.
It's nice. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, even reading a book these days, it's like, I'm surprised anyone's got time to read a book. I kind of, let alone, writing them. It's like, I certainly know myself, I used to read so many books, and now I kind of, I don't really. Or I save them for holiday, but then even holidays are hectic with two young children, aren't they? And then when you go to bed, you just want to go to sleep.
I know. For me, the scary thing is how my attention span is depleted.
Yes.
So, you know, if I'll read 3 pages of a book, and then I'll be like, oh, I'm just going to check Twitter. I'm just going to go to Instagram.
You're right.
And the one time that I actually read a good chunk of my book was when I was on a flight to Florida recently. And you can't, unless you pay for Wi-Fi, you can't go on social media. So I was there and I was like, this is great.
Actually,
I'm just reading my book.
You're so right. Getting on a flight on your own is pure heaven. Or when the kids have gone to sleep on a flight.
Yeah.
That is heavenly, because you can't be torn in, you know, any other direction other than to sit there and read.
Also, good news, wait until your boys are older.
Yeah.
And when you get on a plane with them, all they want to do is watch the movies.
Yeah.
My daughter's seven.
He did do that on the last flight, which was great. That
was
the first
good.
Time we'd experienced that. Got him some headphones at the airport, and he was really happy.
Yes.
I think he watched Trolls 5 times in a row. And I was quite happy to let him do that.
Exactly.
Because you can feel guilt about that as well, can't you? Are they watching too many films?
On a plane, I think it's fine. If he was watching
it?
Trolls back to back,
five times in a row
every weekend, then fair enough. But on
a
flight,
it's allowed.
We'll let you off.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. Okay, some quick fire questions for you, Lucy. What did you want to be when you were growing up?
Oh, gosh. What did I want to be? Well, I was quite into, I was quite a girly girl, actually. And I did, and my mum has still got the scrapbooks to prove it. I was a prolific letter writer.
Were you?
And kind of writer of things at a young age. So she's always sort of thought I was kind of on the path to being a journalist.
Yeah.
I'm the eldest of three as well, and I've got a bit of a rep being a bit of a bossy boots. So I think they always kind of, it seemed natural that I might end up in this kind of position.
Yeah. Because was your first job working for Barbie magazine?
It was, yeah, which was great fun. Yeah, I worked in children's book publishing for a couple of years when I first graduated. I was really lucky, actually, to get a job there. I was work experience there, and then a role as editorial assistant came up, and I kind of worked my way up there.
Yeah.
And then I made the transition into magazines via Barbie, which was good fun, writing stories about Barbie and Ken all day and
amazing.
Devising word searches and crosswords and things and dot the dots.
Brilliant. I love it.
But, yeah, that was very creative, actually, yeah, writing stories. So.
Yeah.
I think I've definitely got a strong creative streak, and yeah,
clearly,
enjoy
I mean,
that.
You know, when you look at what you've achieved, it's clear.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm lucky to have found something that I feel is my, you know, the thing I enjoy and is my sort of niche.
That's great. Okay, what's the best celebrity event you've ever been to?
Oh, God.
You must have been to a few.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky at Hello, and that obviously weddings are a big area for us, and we love a big showbiz wedding, so I've been lucky enough to attend a number of those around the world. I think one of the best was Sam Branson's wedding out to Isabella Coulthrop.
Was it on the game reserve?
Yeah, Ula Saba. Yeah, Sir Richard Branson's private game reserve in South Africa. That was amazing. I had to get a small plane over there, just myself from Joburg, parachuted almost literally into the wedding. And it was just amazing. It was a beautiful setting. Got to see some incredible wildlife as well as hang out with, you know, the likes of Princess Beatrice and Eugenie and all of their friends. Because it's always a real honour to cover somebody's wedding. You know, it's not a piece of work that they have to do in the course of promoting the latest project. You know, there's no dress rehearsal. This is the actual wedding.
Yeah.
So it's a real honour to be there, and I always never take that for granted. And yeah, they were very inclusive and welcoming, and that was great fun. Except we had a nightmare on the night. We were doing a very fast turnaround with it for the magazine, because they're going to press, I think it was the day after the wedding.
Yeah.
So I was frantically writing everything up, and the photographer was trying to download everything, and then there was just a crazy storm and a power cut in the whole place.
No, oh my goodness.
So we couldn't send anything back to the office. The magazine's just open, you know, the Rebra House is waiting to receive stuff. They couldn't even lay it out onto the layouts properly.
Yeah.
There was a team here in the office waiting to receive everything. And Sir Richard was amazing and kind of off said, what do I need? Like a private plane, a helicopter? What can he do?
If there's one person you want in a crisis, it's Sir Richard Branson.
It really was. And so we had to, yeah, they had to send someone out to kind of try and get the wires back up again. And, I mean, eventually it did all come back on, but it was so last minute and up against it.
Mm.
But it was quite good fun. We all pulled together and made it happen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a life or death situation,
no.
You know, you think. But that was good fun. I've covered the Oscars, major awards ceremonies over the years. Always a real thrill to be in Los Angeles at the time of the Oscars.
Yeah, I bet.
Where it's just wall-to-wall A-list stars everywhere you go. I once was at a pre-Oscars party and sat at a table with a friend of mine, and Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox came and joined us at the table.
Oh my goodness.
And that was really good fun.
See, if that happened to me, I would have to just stop myself from just quoting Friends at them.
I know, well that's it. We felt like we were in an episode of Friends. Yeah. It was really fun. But generally, the bigger the stars, the kind of more, you know, sort of approachable they are in some ways, like that. So I'm lucky to have attended lots of amazing events. That's kind of why how I got the idea for The Stylist, my first book that's all set during awards season.
Yeah.
And I, you know, was quite fascinated by what goes on behind the scenes and how the stars look this immaculate and red carpet ready when they step out of their limos at the beginning of the Oscars red carpet, when there's a whole engine room and kind of a lot of stress and things going on behind the scenes to get them there.
Yeah, brilliant. Final question for you. What's your most embarrassing mum moment of all time being?
Oh, God, most embarrassing mum moment. Oh, God, I remember once when Heath was tiny and I, you know, you're not feeling great often when, you, when you've got a tiny baby and you're only having snatched bits of sleep. I remember fake tanning myself.
Oh, really?
And then and Heath ended up with a fake tan on his cheek because I'd pulled him to me. And my husband, I remember coming home and going, oh, my God, has he got a birthmark that I've not noticed before?
How
kind
funny.
Of on him and me going, having to admit it was actually a bit of fake tan.
Were you tempted to fake tan the rest of him, just
yes,
even him out?
Even out, yeah.
Listen, Rosie, thank you very much for chatting to
That's
us today.
Right.
It has been
it has
so
really nice
great
to,
to chat. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
A big thank you for listening. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, then please do rate and review over on iTunes and tell all your friends. Yeah, thanks for listening and I'll catch up with you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.